Welcome to Crown of Life Baptist Church.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade,
saints and angels song.
Good morning, Central Indiana. You are listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church, now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express in Noblesville. We invite you to join our Sunday morning service at 10 o'clock, preparing hearts to embrace God's Word and desiring His coming kingdom. God is calling sinners to the cross, and He is calling believers to the crown. Enjoy today's program with Pastor Greg DeZula. Be listening to the end of today's program for opportunities on how you can support this radio ministry. Jesus said, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life."
Today's message, Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, has unique undertones. I will draw a line between the church and the kingdom. They are both to be taught in this age of grace, and yet they are distinct one from the other. Their paths intersect to some extent. I will reveal how and why. One of the major tenets of the Baptists that differ from the Catholic Church and the Protestant churches is that the New Testament church is not universal. It is local and visible. The church is many, not singular. Meaning, just because you are saved and born again does not mean that you are in the body of Christ. A born-again believer becomes a member of a local assembly through scriptural baptism, which is immersion, just as Jesus Christ was immersed in the Jordan River by John the Baptist. Understand this, my friends. Baptism comes after a profession of faith in Christ, not before. Infant baptism is an anathema and cannot be supported by any verse of Scripture. Look it up. The closest you will find a young child near water in Scripture is Moses as an infant floating down the Nile River in a bassinet, and he didn't get wet. Infant baptism is a man-made tradition that is steeped in error that will prevent millions of believers from entering the millennial kingdom of Christ and ruling with him on this earth for 1,000 years. The believer's business is not to build the kingdom, but to build the undefiled church, which is the chaste virgin to be espoused to Christ. Jesus Christ will take out of the pure, undefiled New Testament church those who will make up the kingdom in the future when he returns. Entrance into the millennial kingdom is based on a host of commandments that Jesus spells out for the believer to obey. For instance, read the Sermon on the Mount and the Great Commandment, eternal life on the new earth in a newly created heaven is based on faith alone. However, entrance into the millennial kingdom is based upon faith plus obedience. It is a reward for faithfulness in one's walk with Christ. Write to me if you want further understanding of what I am saying. Listen to the end of the program to get an email or P.O. Box address. Distinction and Commonality Between Church and Kingdom, Part 3.
So the whole body fitly joined together. Also, it's a building. You think about putting blocks and mortar on blocks to put more blocks on you, and you put mortar, and you line it all up, and you take a level and make sure those blocks are all level and stacked properly and evenly, and as you raise that wall or that pillar up. And so everything is fit jointly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. The joints, the blood supplies your joints and your fingers and everything with blood and new tissue, new life and food for your cells according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. And so the church needs to be edified. You need to be fed with manna from above, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We need to be fed continuously in the Word of God. The next occurrence of the word church in Acts appears immediately after Pentecost and assumes the church by this time existing in the world, puts in practice church discipline. Ananias and Sapphira, they died. What happened? They lied. They lied to the Holy Spirit. They lied to the church. They sold their home and they told the church, we only got this much for the house, when actually they got a lot more for the house, but they kept back. They didn't have to give all that they had to the church, but they lied to the church. And they dropped dead at two different times. And the Bible says great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. You're not going to lie to the Holy Spirit. Other churches in Acts besides the church in Jerusalem, there were many that churches went out and evangelized and started planting other churches. They were being scattered. Believers were being scattered because of persecution. And when he, Barnabas, had found him, speaking of Saul, that was his name before it was changed to Paul, he brought him unto Antioch. Okay, Antioch is a city in northern Israel. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Christians first in Antioch, where the word Christians came, means the Christ ones, those people who follow Christ. The book of Acts covers the predominantly Gentile church plants of Asia Minor. Okay, the book of Acts covers the predominantly Gentile, because the Jews rejected many of the Jews. Paul always went to a synagogue. When he went into a new city, and you have to remember the Jews were now scattered throughout the world. That goes all the way back to the Assyrian and Babylonian captivities that the Israelites were in. So there were in the known world at that time, there were synagogues in all these cities because there were Jews scattered all over. And the first thing he would do when he went to a new city would go into the synagogue and say, hey, guess what? The Messiah came. He was crucified. He died. But guess what? He rose from the grave. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. And explain everything that took place. And sometimes the Jews would believe what he said. Sometimes a small portion of the Jews would believe and the majority would not. And then they would persecute him. The Jews in Jerusalem would send a note to the Jews in that synagogue in that city and say, don't listen to Paul, he's lying, and then cause havoc within the city. But that's what Paul did. And then he would take those who believed, those who would hear him, and he would then teach the Gentiles and explain to the Gentiles about Jesus being the Messiah. And the Spirit of God fell on them, just like it fell on the Jews who believed. And the church was formed. But it was persecuted in many of these cities. So you have the church in Antioch. Then you have in Asia Minor, you have some of these other churches that Paul started, small churches in these cities. Lystra, Iconium, Pisidia, Pamphylia, Perga, I think that's where we get the church Pergama in Revelation, Attalia, and Antioch. All these churches came first before the great churches of Ephesus and Rome. We see in Acts chapter 14, and when they, Paul and Barnabas, had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And so we see that, you know, that Paul and Barnabas came back to Jerusalem on one of their missionary journeys. They came back and explain to the church in Jerusalem what God was doing through them. The church of Ephesus was found in Acts chapter 18 and chapter 19. You find that in those two chapters, so that came later. The book of Romans, or the church in Rome, was the last church that Paul planted. The epistles follow the book of Acts as church documents. In the book of Revelation, seven churches are addressed for the last time by our Lord. Okay? So you have all the epistles are documents for the church. And how did the church... So Paul would write a letter to the Corinthian church, to the church at Ephesus, to the church at Galatia, to the church at Colossae, to the church at Philadelphia. Wherever he wrote a letter, how do we get those letters today compiled in this Bible? Those churches frantically duplicated those letters verbatim and shared them with other churches. They copied them, hand copied them. They didn't have a printing press. They didn't have a computer. They didn't have an iPhone and take a picture of it and send it with one little click of a button. They copied them meticulously and shared them with the other churches. John, the Revelator, is considered the great compositor of all the scriptures and brought them all together and put them into one book. And so we see that in the book of Revelation, the Lord talks to the seven churches, and this is the last we hear of the church in all of Scripture. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak. There was great sin in Thyatira. Go back and look at more the earlier parts of that passage. And Paul, the Lord reveals the sin in Thyatira in the church. I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. So it's a warning about the sin in the church and those who are not part of that sin in the church to hold fast that which they have, and that they will, if they're an overcomer and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So the Lord is speaking to the churches. The Lord is speaking to the churches. And the ecclesia, the called out body of Christ. And he's talking to churches. When you use the word church, and he's talking to the church, it means everybody in the church is the body of Christ. Yeah, you may have visitors and unsaved people who come in, but they're not the church. It's the believers are the church. They're the body of believers. They're the body that makes up that unit of the church. We see in Luke, in the parable of the I forget what it is. It's like the parable of the talents. Occupy till I come. The church is to continue faithfully until Jesus Christ returns. In the world, but not of the world. The church is in the world. That is the institution God is using at this present time. Now, next week we'll cover the kingdom. And we will understand what the kingdom is all about. There is the kingdom in its physical realm, and there is the kingdom in mystery, and we will get to understand what that is. But the what God is working through at right now is through the church. And what he's not happy with is what the church has entangled herself with. And that grieves the Lord. Church is to be the bride, unadulterated in the world, not to be part of the world. In the world, but not of the world. And so we're to occupy. And so again, this kingdom now, that's a farce. It's not true. The kingdom is not now. The church is now. The emphasis needs to be on the church. But we see quite the opposite in the Christian realm today. And we will distinguish that with the kingdom and the kingdom mystery of the kingdom, the mystical aspect of the kingdom and what is going on in the kingdom to this time and where is the kingdom. And so the church is local, it's visible, it's not universal. The church is not universal. There are individual churches, and each church is a body of believers, and each member is of the church. Church is a membership. It's not a fellowship. It's a membership. And so we looked at that again, that the church is to occupy, the church is to just hold fast the things that we have learned and understand and stay firm and strong and be overcomers. We're going to deal with trials and tribulations in this world and to continue to weather the storms that the churches have over the last 2,000 years. And the storms have been horrific. And they're going to get horrific again. We're going to see storms on the churches like we've never seen before. this whole issue with the transgenders is leading to hating you. The whole agenda is building up the momentum to hate you and I, to hate Christ, to hate the Bible, to hate the Word of God, to hate the scriptures that God in the beginning made man and woman, to hate that and resent that, the Holy Word, resent the Christ that wrote those words, and hate you and I. And so it's a momentum. Now, watch, I get kicked off again. Okay, so, you know, I'm going to have to look for another platform. I'm working with Wes' nephew. Is helping me a little bit on getting on Facebook, recording on Facebook Live and doing that. And so we may do that. So the kingdom, the bullet number one, the epistles refer constantly to the kingdom, invariably referring to it as yet future. Okay, and we'll see one exception, Colossians 1:13, but we'll explain Colossians 1:13 a little bit later. But the kingdom is future. The kingdom is not now. The church is not going to usher in the kingdom. The church is falling apart, is going into apostasy, just as Israel went into apostasy. The church is doing the same thing. It will not usher in the kingdom, in a sense, but Christ will bring in his kingdom. So the Luke 19 says, and as they heard these things, he spake and he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. Okay? That's what was in the minds of the Jews. When the Messiah came, they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, that's why John the Baptist was skeptical, that's why the Pharisees and the teachers were skeptical, that's why the disciples were skeptical. They thought the kingdom should just appear the minute the Messiah revealed himself on the earth. And so it was hoping that the Messiah would reveal himself. To this day, the Jews have put forward, I remember, several years back, I think before I even came to Indianapolis, the Jews, just after I got saved, the Jews were hoping a rabbi in New York City, in Brooklyn, was going to be the Messiah. He was like 90 years old or 95 years old or close to 100, I don't remember. And they're saying, he's going to reveal himself, he's the Messiah. And they've done that over time, hoping that some great rabbi would reveal themselves to be the Messiah. And it doesn't happen. And so, you know, I saw you shaking your head, Dale, there. Do you remember, they said in Israel they had posted billboards with his name. The Messiah was coming. The Messiah was coming, and they made billboards in Israel that this rabbi was going to reveal himself to be the Messiah. And it's sort of like in the church, you have those preachers that set dates that Jesus is coming back at a certain date. And then they have egg on their face when it doesn't happen. And so they thought the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. Who's he talking about? Himself. Talking about himself. It is a parable, but he is the man who goes into a far country to receive a kingdom and then to return. So Israel missed the cues that there would be two advents. The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second advent. The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second advent. So try to get that, memorize that little expression. Okay? The kingdom reveal falls on the heels of the second advent. They coincide. Thus, the close of the church era is the start of the kingdom age. The kingdom is future as long as there is a church in the world, apostate or not. Because the last apostate church is going to be destroyed when? At the end of the tribulation in Revelation 17 and 18. Is that correct? I've taught that multiple times about the great harlot church. And so the kingdom is future as long as there is a church in the world, apostate or not. Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, there be some standing here." He was in Caesarea Philippi, "which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." Now, he didn't mean those who were standing there while he was standing there, but there will be those who will be on the earth, in Israel, in the world, who will see the Lord coming back to set up his kingdom. When the next time we see the Lord face to face, he's coming to send up his kingdom. Paul also defines the apostolic vision of the kingdom, that it is still future. He says in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood," okay, flesh and blood, that means the living, means the unchanged hearts, those who have whose hearts are not changed, who are not converted, flesh and blood. It means the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab and Geraldo Rivari and all that crowd. They're, as much as they want the kingdom, they ain't getting it. They're not inheriting it. They're not working for the kingdom of God. They're working to build their own kingdom. Okay? And so flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption, sinners, okay, wickedness, evil things in the world, inherit incorruption. The kingdom is going to be an incorrupt age. Satan will be bound. He will be bound for 1,000 years. The earth will be like the Garden of Eden, as we talked about that in the past. "Behold, I show you a mystery." Okay, there's a key word, a mystery. "We," talking of the saints, "shall not all sleep." Okay, die. When he says sleep there, it means die, to die in Christ. But that some will be raptured alive. They will be taken up out of the earth, like Enoch, like Elijah, taken up out of the earth alive in that period of time. And so, but we shall be all changed.
You have been listening to Pastor Greg DeZula of Crown of Life Baptist Church. Join us every Sunday morning here on Freedom 95 at 7:30 and Sunday service at 10 a.m. Now meeting at the Holiday Inn Express, 13625 Tegler Drive, Noblesville, where you will hear the hard-hitting truths found in the Word of God, unabashedly proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom from the inerrant and infallible King James Bible, the true voice of freedom. If you enjoy this programming and would like to send support, please mail to P.O. Box 47201, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46247-0201. Your financial support is tremendously appreciated. Email Pastor Greg at gdzula@gmail.com We look forward to hearing from you.